Well, if you guys open your Bibles to John chapter 3, verse 14, please. Is it loud enough in the back for you guys in the back, or should it go a little louder? Up higher? It's good? Okay. It's hard to tell when you're up here. Go to John 3:14. If you and I have given our hearts to Jesus Christ this morning, we have eternal life. We have everlasting life. They're the same thing. We're going to see that here. Oh, I thought we were talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, studying the person and work of the Holy Spirit. We are. We want to stop here and look. Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus at night. And he says in verse 14, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man, that's Jesus, he's talking about himself, be lifted up. He's talking about the cross there, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but notice, have what? Eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have, now he says, everlasting life. Right there in verse 15, when Jesus says that if you and I believe in him, he would give us eternal life. It's the first of 10 references in the Gospel of John to eternal life. But the same idea, the same word is translated 8 other times as everlasting life. And you see one of them right there in verse 16. Whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Everlasting life and eternal life, they are the same thing. Both of those expressions appear in the New Testament nearly 50 times. So what is eternal life? It refers not only to, we think of eternal as right forever and ever. It just keeps going on and on and on. That's what it means. Quantity or endless life. But it means another thing, the flip side of that, of what eternal life is. It's a divine quality of life. How's the quality of your life right now, spiritually with the Lord? How's the quality of your life? And God's very concerned about that. Well, eternal life is the sharing in life of Christ in God. And it's the life of the Lord Jesus himself. And I have written down here that eternal life is a life that is capable of enjoying the things of God down here. And that's a great launching point, the things of God. Well, what are the things of God and enjoying them? Well, you know, we took a break last week for Christmas service. And by the way, thank you again, everybody that helped. Such fun, huh? Such a blessing. It was a day of great joy. Thank you for all of the food. You know, at the beginning, I thought, remember, I said, there's no way we're going to eat all this food. Guess what? We did it. It was like perfect. Everything all you ladies brought and you men brought that you cooked, and it was like we had little bit left over, it was like perfect. So thank you again very much. We enjoyed it, amen? We enjoyed each other, we enjoyed the food. Eternal life is enjoying spiritual life in Jesus Christ here in this life. Oh, we're gonna enjoy that when we get to heaven. He wants us to enjoy it now. Now, since we're there in John, flip over if you would to John chapter 10, verse 9. Jesus is talking about you and I being sheep and him being the shepherd. He's talking about the door to the sheepfold, but what we want to look here in verse 9 of chapter 10, Jesus said, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Now the thief, now think of Satan, our enemy here. The thief does not come except, it's the only thing he does, except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life. There you have it. There's our eternal life. And that they may have it, what? More abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Now, I've been a pastor 6 years. Before that, most of you know, I worked for 28 years for UPS. The first 8 years, For UPS, I delivered to houses and businesses. I delivered in the delivery vans. In the last 20 years, I drove big rigs, and I was really glad to get out of delivering, especially at Christmas time, to the houses, because we would be out till late at night in the dark. Maybe you saw them out around here. They were out late this year. I used to deliver large boxes to families around Christmas time, and you always knew it was Christmas presents because you'd look in the corner and it was coming from another state. So you knew what was in there was what? A lot of wrapped Christmas presents coming from family and relatives, and there'd be one big box, maybe two or three sometimes, but you already knew there was a lot of other boxes in there wrapped already, Christmas presents, and we did a lot of that. When I was growing up in Southern California, both my folks were born and raised in Minnesota. My grandma moved out here, my mom's mom, and all the family was back there. She would spend Christmas with us because she lived near us. The UPS guy would pull up almost every day and bring boxes from family. And so I actually experienced that. We would open those big brown boxes and there would be all these presents wrapped. Well, what's the point? The point is we've been learning about the person of the Holy Spirit. God, the third person, right? And he's a gift. And then Jesus said, I'm going to send the gift, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And we've been learning about that. So when you and I, we give our hearts to Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes and lives within us. But then we've been learning there's a second subsequent, often subsequent experience of the baptism or the fullness of the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit. So I want you to imagine that. And all we have to do is ask for that filling, and God desires to give it, right? We've been learning that. So hold that thought. That baptism in the Holy Spirit is like receiving that big box. And when you receive the baptism and the filling of the Holy Spirit, and he's a living, real person, and if you're a believer, he's living within you right now, he gives gifts. So Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. I pray you would baptize me and you would fill me with your Holy Spirit. But remember, we've been learning, he wants us to fill us not with gifts. He wants to fill us with what? Himself. With himself. And we learned that the reason for the baptism of the Holy Spirit is for power. Jesus said to the disciples, go and wait till you're filled with the Holy Spirit before you do ministry, and you shall be witnesses for me. So, you and I, God wants to fill us with the Holy Spirit that we might have the power not to sin, and that we might be filled with his love. Now, when your neighbors and family see you and I obeying God and having the power not to sin, you're going to stand out. When they see you overflowing with a love that keeps loving them back when they hate you and they're attacking you, then that's the power of God. So before we even talk about opening the big brown box and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, let's remember that he wants to fill us with him. And what that's going to do is draw us close in a love relationship with Jesus Christ through the presence and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, will be overflowing in our lives, which is the love that comes from the Holy Spirit. He will give us his power. Power for what? Not to sin. Not to sin. Now you're a witness. Now, oh, by the way, here's gifts. Open the box. Here's the gifts of the Holy Spirit that I want to give you. And we're going to start learning about those. Specifically this morning, we're going to start learning about the gift of tongues. Now, we'll probably continue that next week, maybe even a third Sunday, but we're going to begin it today. And I love it because I don't have to rush. There's no deadline. We can begin to learn about it. And then next week we'll learn some more and maybe even a third week. Do you ever get concerned, though, as you wrap presents and it gets close to Christmas and you put them under your tree and then you go out shopping or you go to somebody's house? Do you think like I do? And you go, oh my gosh, Lord, please protect the house because what? Thieves break in and steal. Amen. How many people? I wonder if you have that thought. Every year I've had that thought since I've been married. All the years, it's like, you know, as it gets closer to Christmas, you start to wrap gifts, you put them under the tree, then you go leave somewhere, you pray when you get home, They're still there, right? But thieves break in and steal. And at Christmas time, we know a lot of that goes on. Stop right there, though, and realize this, though, and we've already shared it. God's blessings have been stolen by the enemy. That's why we read John 10, the thief, the enemy, comes to steal, to kill, to destroy. So the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, beautiful, scriptural, in the Word of God. God has much for His church to give them what? Eternal life. What's eternal life? Quality of life. A lot of that quality of life is the gifts of the Holy Spirit that He gives to every believer to be used to bless the other believers. That enhances the quality of our church, the quality of His church, the quality of our life. But somebody breaks in the house, steals all the gifts under the Christmas tree, they're gone, they're gone. In much of Christianity, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, people are not open to the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Why? We've been taught something wrong. There's a fear. There's a bias. It's not for today. A lot of people, we've talked about that. And the enemy steals. Now, Jim and June Hesterly, we had them for our couples retreat last year, if you remember. And Jim says this in one of his books, "Throughout my study and teaching on the gifts of the Holy Spirit, I have learned a key principle. If you can understand what the gifts are, you can move from fear to effectiveness. If you can understand what the gifts of the Holy Spirit are, you can move from fear to effectiveness." So, I'm going to stop right now. I'm going to jump a little bit ahead, and I wrote down a number of questions here because everybody here right now, check it out. Where are you? Let's talk about the gift of tongues. Now, you might be in a position right now. Everybody's going to land somewhere. So I'm going to ask you right now, where do you land? We're going to talk about the gift of tongues, which is a gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, you might say, I know nothing about that yet. That's new to me. I've never even heard of it. You land there. Praise the Lord. We're going to learn about it. You're going to learn about it. Maybe you land there. Let me ask you, maybe you're here and you have the gift of speaking in tongues from the Holy Spirit. Maybe you land there. Is that you? Maybe right now you're saying, that's not for me. No thank you. No way. I'm already turning you off. That's not for today. Are you there? Maybe you're there. Maybe you're in the place where you say, I really desire that gift and I've asked for it, but I haven't received it yet. He hasn't given it to me. There's some of us who will fall in that place. Some of us are like, I'm kind of like on the fence, like teetering. I don't really understand a lot about it, so I'm cautious. Maybe that's you. Maybe you land there. I put one more here. Maybe you have that gift, but like the Corinthians, and we're going to see, you need to learn more about that gift, and you've actually been misusing that gift of tongues throughout the years. So where did you land? Where did you land? We all landed somewhere in there, you see? Now, I just wrote down a bunch of random truths and thoughts about this before we get into it, so I want you to listen to very carefully. The gift of tongues is a gift thought of and designed by God. Think of little Anne in the womb, right? Thought of, designed by God. Who is she going to be? He thought of her. He thought of you. The very idea of you, you were God's idea. No one ever liked you before. No one ever will be like you before. Before you were conceived, He thought of the idea of you, your personality, what you would look like, and then He formed you in the womb. Amazing, amazing, for a purpose. Well, the gift of tongues in Scripture was thought of and designed by God. Think of that. Now, God does things for a purpose. Another thought, the most misunderstood and most controversial of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is the gift of tongues. What we're talking about right now, and we're going to learn in the next few weeks, one of the most controversial, misunderstood things in the whole Bible. There's a lot of misunderstanding in this room. When there's misunderstanding, wrong ideas, wrong teaching, wrong practice. Remember, Scripture, the Bible, is our rule for faith and practice. When there is wrong practice or misunderstanding, the door is left unlocked, the enemy comes in, he takes all the gifts out from under the tree. What a tragedy and what a shame that God gives his church spiritual manifestations of his power, which are the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And there are people who don't want them because, that just grieves the heart of God. When they're there to bless the body, they're there for eternal life. They're there for a quality of life in his church. You know, we're not going to talk about the gift of prophecy this morning. We're going to get to that after tongues, but the gift of prophecy God gives to many people in the body of Christ. And the gift of prophecy is simply, this is the word of God. It's done, A to Z. But the word of what prophecy is, when God uses you as a believer to speak today, to share his heart now. Do you know this morning we prayed here? When we got here this morning, then we prayed with a large group over there. Do you know that in someone's prayer here this morning, there was a prophecy, and I know it. And then when we prayed over here, someone shared some scripture and read it and shared from their heart, and it was prophecy from the Lord. How do you know that? Because in me, the Holy Spirit, it was like lightning, like quickening in me, and it was something I needed to hear, and I knew God was speaking to me through them. Does that ever happen to you? But the gifts of the Holy Spirit are so beautiful and gentle and natural that sometimes they're operating and we don't even know it. And I wonder if sometimes God speaks through you and I. We don't even realize it, but the person hearing, oh my gosh, that's the Lord. It's beautiful. Two prophecies this morning, I know for sure. Now, the gift of tongues is not the most important gift. Sometimes it just gets all blown out of proportion, this gift of tongues. It's also not the least of the gifts. If you have the gift of tongues, if a person has that gift, they're not more spiritual than someone who doesn't. If you don't have that gift of tongues, you're not less spiritual than someone who has that gift. The Holy Spirit is the giver of gifts. The purpose of that gift of tongues, what is it? Right? Primarily for your personal, private prayer, devotional life. That is the main reason. 99%, I mean, I'm just picking a number. I just want you to know the main reason for the gift of tongues is private, personal, devotional use for you and I in our walk with the Lord. Here's another truth. If tongues is spoken in a church service, there must be interpretation always. That's what Scripture teaches, and we're going to learn that. We'll probably get into that next week. What's interpretation? It's another gift of the Spirit. There's the gift of speaking in tongues. There's the interpretation of tongues, where someone then gives the meaning in English so we can understand it. So what we're beginning to do on Wednesday nights, actually we've been doing it for, I don't know how long we've been meeting on Wednesday nights, a year and a half, 2 years, is we get together, and when we come together to pray on Wednesday nights in the library, and we'll do it this Wednesday, is we wait on the Lord, and there's a time where he can speak through prophecy, the gift of tongues and interpretation, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, different gifts. And we have seen him faithfully do that. And so if you want to begin not just to hear about this, but to experience, come out on Wednesday night. Now, what if you're praying in tongues in your own personal, private, devotional life? Do you need interpretation? No. No. You mean you could have the gift of tongues, you could pray in tongues all of your life with the Lord by yourself and never know what you're saying, and that's okay. Yes. Yes, you do not need interpretation. The only time the gift of interpretation is needed is in a church service, and when there's tongues spoken out loud in a church service, then there needs to be interpretation. Sometimes someone speaking in tongues, it's a known language. Sometimes it can be the language, a heavenly language, the language of angels. We'll see that. The use of this gift of tongues requires faith And it's an affront or an assault to our intellect. It takes faith. Scripture teaches that the voice of the prophet is subject to the prophet. God will not take over your voice. Now, we've been learning that, right? And go back to when we started learning about the Holy Spirit. Do you remember what we learned? He wants us to what? Relax. Relax. Are you relaxed right now? Or because we're talking about this, or you already find yourself getting tight? Relax. The good news is we learned God will never just make us do something. Isn't that good news? Yes. God's never, the Holy Spirit's living in you and I, if you're a believer. He's never just going to make me do anything. He's never just going to take over my voice and make me say anything. Isn't that good news? Yes. Now, can you relax? Yes. Because how do I trust him if he's going to just make me do something against my will? How do you trust that person? If he's just going to make me say something when I don't want to say it, how do I trust him? And yet it's a love relationship where you and I are getting to know the third person of the Holy Spirit who's living in us. He should be our best and most intimate friend. And we're learning to trust him, and he wants that trust. He's deserving of that trust. So we need to reestablish again, he's never just going to take over our voice. We have to yield it to him. And so the gift of tongues, that gift of the Holy Spirit of speaking in unknown tongues, you choose to speak. You yield your voice. He isn't just going to take your voice over. You need to understand that. What's the purpose of it? Prayer for your private devotional life. Praising God, giving him thanksgiving, interceding for other believers, spiritual warfare, drawing close to God in communion and edification, which is building yourself up. By the way, one more category I didn't mention, maybe it's you. You have the gift of tongues, God gave it to you many years ago, and you've let it go dormant, and you haven't prayed in tongues in a very long time, maybe even years. It's time to stir that gift and use it again, and hopefully this study will encourage you to do that. One more truth I wrote down. God is no respecter of persons. There's no partiality with God. God loves you the same as he loves me. He loves us all the same. He treats us all fairly. He doesn't have favorites. Amen. Do you believe that? That's what Scripture teaches. Hold on to that, because that's important today. Now, the gifts of the Holy Spirit that we're going to begin learning about are manifestations of his power, and yet the gifts of the Holy Spirit can operate so naturally that we can be unaware that certain gifts are being exercised. Again, someone was praying this morning. I knew it was the Holy Spirit praying through him. I wonder if he knows. He might have been aware of that. But he said something that to me was God speaking to me through that prayer. That's prophecy. But it was so gentle and natural, I wonder if he even knew that, you see. Sometimes the gifts can operate so naturally that we don't even realize they're operating. The Holy Spirit is gentle. However, when you and I are speaking in tongues, we're aware of that, amen? We're going to be aware of that. We're going to know that's operating, and we're choosing to do that. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are not just to be used in a church service. They can be used by the Holy Spirit through you, a believer, anywhere 24/7. So the primary purpose of the gift of tongues is outside of a church service. Stop and think about that. It's for your private, personal prayer, devotional life. So the main purpose of it is 24/7 outside of the church. And you can pray in tongues if God has given you that gift anywhere, anytime, any place at your choosing. Why would you want to do that? That's what we're going to learn. 24/7, everywhere you go. Now, do you know what your gifts are? Do you know what gifts, spiritual gifts, God has given you? You either do or you don't, or we're learning. The Holy Spirit wants us to know what gifts he has given and chosen to give each of us as individuals, and to use those gifts as he leads. Now, if you opened presents at Christmas, you didn't choose them, did you? Maybe you did. Maybe you said, I bought this for myself. Will you wrap it up for me? I don't know. I'm not going to go there, okay? But for the most part, when we opened a Christmas gift, we didn't choose it for ourselves, right? Someone else chose it for us. We don't choose the spiritual gifts for ourselves. The Holy Spirit does. And he says, I created little Anne in the womb, right? I'm going to give her natural abilities and skills, just like he gave all of you. By the way, natural talents and abilities and skills are not the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are spiritual gifts, which are supernatural manifestations given by the Holy Spirit to those who believe, to those who are Christians. Your neighbors and friends that don't know the Lord, the people that live across the street or next door that don't know Christ yet, they have natural abilities and talents and gifts and skills that God gave them also. But here's the thing. Little Anne is going to be born, and he already has given her natural skills and abilities. Amen. They're in there. Maybe she's going to be a beautiful singer. You know, maybe she's going to be musical. Who knows? That's just one to pick from. But he created little Anne for himself that he might save her and live within her. And the Holy Spirit says, I created that little body. I want to fill that body as my temple one day. I want her to place faith in Jesus Christ, my son. I want to fill her. And he already knows right now there's spiritual gifts I want to give her. Here's her natural ability. But then when she gives her heart to me and I fill her and baptize her with myself and the Holy Spirit, I want to give her these gifts. And I've already picked them out. By the way, that was you before you were born. And he's given you not only natural gifts and abilities and skills, but spiritual gifts. And we're going to learn them. There's three places in Scripture. Romans 12, Ephesians 4, and 1 Corinthians 12 through 14, where God talks about the spiritual gifts. And they're listed there for the most part. And God wants to give each of us. But he's the one who chooses. And we open it up and we go, well, what's inside? Well, how do you find out what's inside? How do you find out what your gifts are, right? Well, the way to do it is to serve, to learn by experience. It's in the context of relationship. So we're stopping today. We're beginning to learn about this gift of tongues because it's the most misunderstood and the most controversial. But you know that gift, the main purpose of that gift is for you to pray when you're alone with the Lord. For you to pray when you're alone with the Lord. All the other gifts are for each other to minister to each other. Now, the gift of tongues can be used. Like this Wednesday, we might come together. Someone could give an utterance in tongues. Someone would give an interpretation in English, which would be praise and thanks and prayer unto God. But see, that is only on Wednesday night. The main use of the gift of tongues is for you and I all of the time to be able to pray to God at any time, you see. But all of the other gifts that we're going to learn, other than the gift of tongues, only work when God in you has them work. So let's say someone gave a prophecy this morning, and they did. It's the Holy Spirit within that person bringing that forth. I couldn't decide right now if I have the gift of prophecy. I couldn't decide right now. I'm going to give a prophecy right now and then reach in and pull it out. There's nothing there. But the Holy Spirit's in there, in you and I. And if he chooses to give you a prophecy, all of a sudden he gives it. And then you obey and you speak it forth, you see. All of the gifts are operated by the Holy Spirit in you, and then you obey him. But he's the one who operates all of the gifts. So here's the idea. Each of us, we can desire certain gifts. We can ask for them. Maybe he'll give those to us. Maybe that's a gift he's chosen for us, but maybe not. He's the one who chooses and gives us what he desires us to have. It's for the benefit of all. So I'm going to ask you to turn, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. And Paul wrote this to the Corinthians. And he says, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, to the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all who in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in everything by him, in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. Now here's what I want you to see. Look at verse 7. So that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Notice, you guys, in verse 7, he's telling the Corinthian church, so that you come short in no gift. This church had all of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but they did not know how to use them, and they were abusing the gifts. They were misusing the gifts. So now, because of that, jump ahead to chapter 12, verse 1. If you'll turn, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. They came behind in no gift. They had all of the gifts, but they needed to learn how to use them, and especially this gift of tongues. So in verse 1 of chapter 12, Paul says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. I want to stop right there, you guys, for a minute. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. There are so many false ideas out there about the gift of tongues. One of them that has been around since this time, and as you can see, when you and I speak in tongues, we speak in an unknown language, unknown to you, the speaker. So that if God gives you the gift of tongues, you're going to pray in an unknown language. You don't know what you are saying. It's an unknown language that God gives you to pray to him in. Well, then what happens is people say, well, I heard someone speaking in tongues and they were cursing God. They were blaspheming Jesus Christ. I understood the language and that's what they were saying. Do you know there are cults who claim to speak in tongues and they will speak in tongues? There are demon-possessed persons who will sometimes speak in tongues. And as we know, Satan always what? Counterfeits. He always copies God and counterfeits to try to steal and rip off. So maybe you're sitting here today and you go, oh man, you know what? I'm done right now. Wait, stop. I'm done. I'm done right now. You mean sometimes, you know, people on the dark side can speak in tongues as a counterfeit to the true gift? Yes. And right there, you guys, sometimes people go, I'm done. Forget it. I don't want any part of this. And you know what? You just left the door unlocked and the guy came in and he took all the gifts from under the Christmas tree right now. That's what just happened if you do that. Satan always attacks the person and work of the Holy Spirit, and he always attacks the true. This is what Paul's talking about in verse 3. Look there again. He says, therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, in verse 4, there are diversities of gifts, many different kinds, but the same Spirit, the same Holy Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities. Those gifts of the Holy Spirit might operate in two different people differently, but it is the same God who works all in all. Verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given, notice, the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. There's what we're learning today. Verse 10, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. You guys, this is just one listing of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Let me ask you a question right now. Do you understand what each of these gifts is? Could you explain it to someone else? Do you understand what they are, how they work? Do you know if you have any of these gifts? This is why we're teaching on this. If you come every Sunday, by the time we get done, you will understand each of these gifts, and you should be able to explain it to someone else. God wants us to know what they are and how they work. Do you ever open something on Christmas and you go, what is it and how does it work? And you're still trying to figure out how it works, right? God gives us gifts. He wants us to know what they are, how they work, that our lives might be blessed. And so we're going to learn each and every one of these gifts. I mean, we're going to take time about each one of these gifts and what they are, how they work, look at biblical examples. Yes, we are. Yes, we are. To the degree right now in this God's church that we understand it is to the degree that we've received those gifts and they're ours and no one's going to take them away from us. Or has the enemy done a good job in the church worldwide of coming in and stealing from the body of Christ that which belongs to the church, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit? I'm going to tell you, he's done a really good job. And we need to understand this. So, by the way, I want to encourage you to ask God to fill you with the Holy Spirit. And I want to encourage you to ask God for that beautiful gift of tongues. Whoa, wall just went up. That tells us where we're at. When I say that, what's the reaction in you? When I tell you, I want to encourage you to ask God to fill you and baptize you in the Holy Spirit, and I want to encourage you to seek after and ask for this very beautiful, wonderful gift of speaking in tongues, what's going on in you right now? And that'll tell us where we are. What God wants is that we would be drawn to that and desire that and seek that and welcome that. That's where he's trying to draw us into. That's what the Holy Spirit's trying to do in this, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Where are you? Okay. By the way, remember Jesus said, so ask, right? Lord, give me the gift of tongues. I'm asking for that gift of tongues. Can Satan give you a counterfeit to where you're speaking in satanic tongues? No. He can't? No, he can't. What does John 4:4 say? 1 John 4:4, greater is he, the Holy Spirit, who is in you than he who is in the world. So the Holy Spirit's living within you and I right now as believers, and you're saying, Lord, fill me, baptize me, but I'm asking for that gift of tongues. Who's living within you? God, the Holy Spirit. We already, remember the first study we did? Christian cannot be demon possessed. Why can a Christian not be demon possessed ever? Because the Holy Spirit is filling this temple. The Holy Spirit is living within you and I. Now, as he's living there and we're asking for one of the gifts that's in the Bible, the gift of tongues, can Satan give us a counterfeit? No. Because who's living within us? The Holy Spirit. Jesus said, if you being evil in Luke 11 know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him, right? If any son asks for bread from a father among you, will he give him a stone? No. If he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? If you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Now, We're definitely going to go two studies, maybe three on this. But I want you to just like sit back and listen carefully now. And we're going to come to a close in a few minutes. But I just really want to talk to you about this gift of speaking in tongues. Through the gift of speaking in tongues, a person pours out their love to the Lord in deep appreciation and thanksgiving in an unknown language for all that he has done for you and I. The gift of tongues expresses overflowing worship coming from your spirit or mine and praise from our heart that we feel towards God. When you or I pray with that gift of speaking in tongues, it is our spirit deep inside that is praying. But it's God, the Holy Spirit, who's within us in communion with our spirit that is giving us the words to speak to God in a language that we do not understand. It's an act of faith on your part and mine when we have that gift to open our mouth and to speak those words. It's an act of faith. So you must trust the Holy Spirit. You and I, if we have that gift, we do not know what we are saying, but listen carefully. We know that what we are praying and saying is right, and it's the right prayer. Why? Because it's God Himself, the Holy Spirit, giving us the words to pray. The main purpose of the gift of tongues is to bless your and my private devotional prayer life. And when we pray with that gift, we're not speaking to men, but to God. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, you guys. You're right there in 12. Jump over to 14 and look at verse 2. And it says, "For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to who? To God." It's prayer to God. "For no one understands him, however, in the spirit he speaks mysteries." When you and I pray in tongues, we edify or build up ourselves. It strengthens us. Look at 1 Corinthians 14, jump to verse 4 there. "He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself." That means builds up or strengthens himself. "But he who prophesies edifies the church." Jump to verse 14, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 14. The gift of tongues is for prayer. In verse 14, it says, "For if I pray in a tongue," see, it's for prayer, "my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful." In other words, we don't understand what we're saying. Now, let's spend a few minutes here. This is a beautiful, wonderful gift of God for the believer. I wonder if I asked this morning, don't raise your hand, who is overwhelmed and who woke up overwhelmed this morning with life? I wonder how many hands would go up. This gift of praying in tongues can be used for interceding for others when we don't know how to pray for them. Do you ever have someone you love deeply, they're going through something radical, you don't even know how to pray? You don't know the right words to pray because you don't know what God's will is. Now you can begin to speak and pray in tongues in the unknown language that God has given you, knowing that the words are given by who? The Holy Spirit deep within. God understands that language. He's the one giving you that prayer language. And you're interceding for that person with perfect prayer according to the word of the will of God, because it's the Holy Spirit giving you the words. That is glorious, because you know you're praying according to the will of God. And it's comforting to you because you know that you're praying the right prayer. How about yourself? You're overwhelmed. You're confused, you're dazed, you can't even figure out what's going on in your life right now. You don't even know how to pray. That gift of the speaking of tongues, you can now pray, and as you pray, because you understand God's word, and you use that gift of tongues God has given you, you're praying in an unknown language, but who's giving you the words? The Holy Spirit who dwells within you, and it's perfect prayer unto God for whatever your need is, and you might not know what that is, but it's so comforting to know that you're praying perfectly. It's a powerful weapon to be used in spiritual warfare. Do you ever feel bound and oppressed and attacked by the enemy, and your mind is bound and you're just all bound up inside and you don't know why and you can't set yourself free and you're trying to untie a knot? You ever try to untie a knot and you can't get it untied? And sometimes you and I, we're wrestling with our mind and all the thoughts, and we're trying to untie ourselves to get free, but I don't know about you, but I just can't seem to get free. And so we start praying to the Lord. Let me ask you this. Have you ever been walking in your house in that condition and you clicked on or turned on prayer, praise or worship music? I wonder. By the way, I would recommend that. And all of a sudden, something happens. Maybe you've experienced it. You turn on praise music or worship music, and you're just in turmoil, and all of a sudden, it goes what? Deep to our spirit. And all of a sudden, you find freedom coming from the praise and the worship. Why? Because it goes deep to our spirit. Well, who's deep in our spirit? The Holy Spirit. So now you're bound, but if you seek and ask and God gives you this gift of speaking in tongues, you're now going to pray in a prayer language, in an unknown language to you, but it's coming from the Holy Spirit, and God understands it, and it's perfect words coming from Him. And now you're bound and you're fighting spiritual warfare, but as you pray in the Spirit, you know it's perfect prayer. An amazing thing. It's very powerful. Very, very powerful. Maybe you're praying for someone else who's bound by the enemy and in the clutches of darkness, and you don't know how to pray, or you're praying in English, but then all of a sudden it's like, man, this is deep, this is heavy, this is radical. You can pray in the Spirit, pray in your gift of tongues to the Lord. You know that it's the Holy Spirit interceding through you for them, and He wants to set them free, and He's giving you the perfect words, and it's just a blessing to know. These are some of the reasons why this gift exists and the purpose of this gift. It's perfect prayer, perfect praise, perfect thanksgiving unto God. So have you ever been so in love with the Lord, so blessed, so filled with Him that words cannot express your love to Him? The words you and I know in English, I cannot find the words, Lord. If you have this gift of speaking in tongues, then deep from your spirit pours forth a language unknown to you, but you're praising God and you know it, but you also sense and experience that you're praising Him in perfect prayer and praise. What about thanksgiving? You're thankful for something He's done. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I thank you. I thank you. I can't tell you how much I thank you, but it's just not enough. It just doesn't do it. And God gives the gift of tongues so that we can thank Him and praise Him. Thank Him. Coming from the Holy Spirit with words. It's like having an itch. Can you get it right there? You can't reach it. And what my wife always does is she goes, here? And I go, no, here. Here? I go, no, here. And she does everywhere else but there. You know what I mean? But then she'll scratch the itch, okay? All of that to say, you have a deep, coming from deep within, a concern for someone else, a concern for yourself. English words don't adequately praise God or thank Him. It's like an itch that needs to be scratched. The gift of speaking in tongues in an unknown language given by God, given by the Holy Spirit deep within, it's like fulfills that need. Yes, yes, that's the idea. That's how it works. Because it's God, the Holy Spirit, giving you the words, You experience this communion with Him, this communion with God, this closeness. Now, we're going to study it some more. I want to read you something, though. We read, you guys, listen carefully, we're going to close with this. We read that it says, he who speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. himself, builds himself up. So, you opened presents, I opened presents, they were chosen for us. What gifts has God given to you or I? What gifts of the Spirit has he given? He's given us all different gifts. Well, what are you saying, Pastor Pat? I'm saying that I believe God wants all of us to seek this gift and to keep on seeking and to keep on asking. Why? Well, God might give you the gift of prophecy. He might give you the gift of word of knowledge. He might give you the gift of teaching. He might give us all different gifts to minister to each other. And that's cool. If he gives you that gift and he doesn't give me that gift, I'm good with it. You're good with it. He gives us all different gifts. We're going to learn all of those gifts. But this one gift, the gift of speaking in tongues, is a gift that's for the great, great use of it is for your private, personal, devotional life with the Lord. What are you saying? Why would, so let's say this person over here, you're telling me that God has given you this gift. Is it a beautiful gift? Yes, it is. Do you love this gift? Yes. Are you telling me that when English words are not enough and you're interceding for someone and you don't know how to pray, you can begin to pray in that unknown language to the Lord and you know you're praying perfect intercessory prayer? Yes. Why would God give that to him and not me? Why would God give that to someone else and not you? Now, I understand why God only gives certain people the gift of teaching. He doesn't give everyone the gift of teaching. He doesn't give everyone the gift of word of knowledge. He doesn't give everyone the gift of prophecy. All of those gifts are to be used with each other, but this is the one gift of speaking and praying in tongues where when you and I would exercise that gift, we're edifying and building ourselves up. It's for our personal, the use of the gift, 99.9% of it is for your personal, private, devotional life with the Lord. So here's the question. God is no respecter of persons. Why would he give that to this person and not me? Why would he give it to someone? So as your pastor, I'm encouraging you. We're going to keep learning about it. We're just beginning. So no pressure, relax. What are you doing, Pastor Pat? The Holy Spirit is trying to teach us and create in us a desire for himself and for the baptism of the Holy Spirit and for the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So what's going on now since we started? Has your desire grown? Has your interest grown? It is a gift of God in the Scripture with a purpose that is wonderful, beautiful, powerful, glorious. And if God is no respecter of persons, here's the point. Why would he give one person that gift and not the other gift when the main purpose of the gift is to edify yourself and build yourself up? Now we're going to get into it more next week. So there's some of you here who say, I've asked for that gift. I've asked for that gift. I prayed for that gift. I want that gift. God has not given me that gift of speaking in tongues. I keep asking him. Some people would tell you, well, then God hasn't chosen that gift for you. And they quit asking. My counsel to you is keep asking. Keep seeking. Because the problem usually, you guys, is not the Holy Spirit not giving it. It's you and I receiving it. If I ask you a question right now, you're going to give me an answer. But before you give me your answer and your words come out of your lips, you've thought that answer in your mind and in your intellect. It makes sense. And because it made sense to you and it sounded right, you then said it and you let it go out of the door of your lips. And everything you and I say to each other, we choose to say, but we think it first and it makes sense. Speaking in an unknown tongue, that a language that the Holy Spirit gives us that we do not understand the language, when you pray in tongues, you don't know what you're praying. So it's an affront to our intellect. It's a challenge to our intellect. It doesn't make sense to us, and our pride fights it. Well, wow, I wish I had more time. Here's the point. Sometimes people pray to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, and when people lay hands on them and they are prayed for to receive the Holy Spirit, they start speaking in tongues. There's just an openness. And they begin to speak, and God gives them the gift of speaking in tongues. That was not my experience. It was an affront to my intellect. I wanted that gift so bad. I have to have this gift. I want it, Lord, please give it to me. But I wasn't one of those people that was prayed for, and all of a sudden, I just started speaking in tongues. So what I would do is I would go down to the beach at night in the dark, and I would sit there for hours and hours and hours, and I can't tell you how many times I did that. And I would pray for God to just, I was praying, Lord, please, I want that gift. And I was waiting for him to take me over, and I was just gonna start speaking in tongues. In other words, I'm just sitting here, you do it, you're gonna take me over. Never happened, why? Because the problem wasn't that he wasn't trying to give it to me. The problem was me, my intellect. This doesn't make sense. See, here's what can happen. Look up here, you know, it's kind of like this. When you were a baby and your mama was feeding you the squash and you didn't want it, you did this. Mm-mm. As we talk about speaking in tongues, not outwardly in our lips, but some of us in our hearts, we're like this. Mm-mm. Since you started talking, mm-mm. And we do that. But here's the point I'm making. Remember, the Holy Spirit will never make you do anything against your will. He'll never just take you over and make you do something or make you say something. You're in complete control all the time. Yes, you are. So we have to what? Yield our voice to him. We have to obey and speak out. So what happened with you? Well, I want to encourage you with my story, okay? I asked for a very long time for this gift of tongues, and it wasn't happening because I was waiting for God to, like, all of a sudden, something's going to happen, and it's, oh, here I go, and I'm speaking in tongues. No, it doesn't work that way, see? So I went to pick up my grandma in Long Beach, and I was in traffic, bumper to bumper. We're crawling all by myself to go pick her up to bring her home. Could have been for Christmas. And I started praying, and I started asking the Lord, Lord, I really want this gift. You haven't given it to me. Now, very gently, very quietly, very softly, sitting in traffic, just subtly, simple thought in my mind, understanding, you're never going to just take my voice over, are you? You're never going to just take my voice over. That's not who you are. You won't do that. I have to yield my voice to you. See, that was my problem. I'll do this. I'll speak in tongues if you will take my voice over. Is that where you are? Guess what? He won't. Because he loves you so much and respects you so much, and he knows we always need to be in control, working with him, responding to him. So I said, Lord, if this is true, then I need to yield my voice, and I'm afraid to yield my voice, and I'm not yielding my voice to you. Do you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to yield my voice to you. And you guys, I felt so foolish, so silly, so foolish. You know why? Because if you said, Pat, say 1 + 1 = 2, I don't feel foolish. I know what I'm going to say. 1 + 1 = 2. But to speak when you don't know what you're saying is an affront to our intellect. I want you guys to understand this. We'll talk more about it next week. So I said, Lord, my lips are sealed. I'm waiting for you to take over, take possession of my lips. No, you're not going to do that, are you? I have to yield them to you. I think this is what you're telling me, Lord. So what I'm going to do is, Lord, I'm just going to start to speak, not in English. I'm just going to start to make some sounds with my voice. And you know what? There's no one in the car with me. I'm looking at all the people around me, surrounded by cars. I felt so embarrassed and so foolish with myself. It's an affront even to our own self-respect and intellect. Do you understand that? Because why are you sharing this, Pat? Because I'm going to tell you right now, this is the main reason I believe why many of us, me, struggle to receive that gift, is it's simply we won't yield our voice to the Holy Spirit. So that's what I did. And I felt absolutely ridiculous because now I'm starting to make sounds with my voice voluntarily out loud by myself in the car, and I feel foolish with myself in the car. But when I did that, you guys, as an act of faith, you know what happened? I'm yielding my voice. Do you know what happened? Here comes this beautiful, flowing gift of tongues, prayer language, and that's when and how I received the gift of tongues in my life. But it was a long time asking, seeking, waiting. So I'm wondering here if that's you. So can I try that alone? Go for it. Go for it. You can come up here afterwards. We can lay hands on you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And if you want the gift of tongues, we'll lay hands on you and ask him to give you the gift of tongues. And you might start speaking in tongues today after the service. If you want that gift, come up. We'll lay hands on you and pray. But if you don't receive the gift of tongues, then keep seeking, keep asking, keep knocking. Because it's beautiful, it's wonderful. Why would God give it to me and not give it to you? If I'm interceding for you and you're going through something radical and I don't know how to pray for you, I can intercede in tongues. If I'm being bound and under oppression and satanic attack, which I often am, and I'm feeling bound and defeated, and I can't get myself free, and I can start praying in the Spirit in my gift of tongues, and freedom comes. If I can praise God and love when my heart is overflowing and give him thanks, why would he give that to me and not give it to you? And see, I'm sorry, I don't accept that because God's no respecter of persons. All the other gifts, you guys, I understand why he only gives some people the gift of teaching maybe and not everyone. Leadership is one of the gifts. He who leads with diligence, it says. He's not calling everyone to be a leader. We know that. So he doesn't give that gift to everyone. But this is the gift where 99% of its use is your private, personal, devotional life. And when you use it, you strengthen yourself and build yourself up. Does that make sense? Why would he give me that gift and not give it to you? And I refuse to accept. And I don't care if I lived to be 100 years old and on my dying bed I was still asking, I would not quit asking and seeking. Because I believe that gift is not that he doesn't want to give it to you and I. It's like, maybe you're like me, it's receiving it. It's receiving it. So anyway, we'll pick it up again next week. Very controversial subject. I want to say one more thing. Much of the problem with this is it's been so misused and abused, the gift of tongues. It's a beautiful gift, mainly to be used by you and I alone with the Lord. And sometimes in a church service, to be spoken, but only then if there's an interpretation in English. But it has been so misused and abused in the Christian world that many people have walls built up I want nothing to do with this. And they have walls built up. It grieves me. It grieves the Lord because the church has been ripped off and things have been stolen from us, and they rightfully are ours and belong to us. So we as a church, God wants us to have everything he has for us, and he wants you as a believer to have the gifts that he wants for you. Do you want everything God has for you?